Welcome, one and all, to the Illuminati Pop Culture Talk 6th podcast, I think, right? 6th?
Yep.
Last week we did a Skype podcast, which worked out moderately well, I guess, right?
We did, like, because you were in Pennsylvania, the internet both worked for both of us, so...
Yeah, there was no problems with that, which is good.
We should introduce ourselves. We didn't do that.
My name's Pierre.
His name's Brian.
April
Fool's Day was yesterday.
That would be the worst joke ever. No, it was 2 days ago by the time this gets posted.
That's true. All right, I'm Phil. Hello, everyone.
And I'm Brian, not Pierre. I don't know why Pierre is my go-to random name, but
I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
Well, I've heard me say it, and that's the important thing. So the first thing I want to mention briefly is our comic that we're writing now after Shepard.
617.
Called 617. It's going pretty well. Gotten through the first half of the comic a lot faster than we did with Shepard. That took about a year to be finished.
It did take, what, 6 drafts?
It took 5 or 6 drafts to get that done.
I think we
done.
Stopped for like more than five months.
No.
Yeah, we worked on that. We worked on 617.
No, it wasn't 5 months though.
Was it 5 months? We worked on 617 for before 617.
We were doing blog
stuff.
We
had another title for before 617.
Yeah, which
Wicked. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Wicked Games. But this one, it's going really well, and I've gotten through half the issue a lot faster than we would have, and quality stuff instead of just something to get down on paper and edit later. But one thing we've come across is that one of the main characters, Luis, who's the son of the main female character, is he's a deaf mute, essentially. And I now realize why I've never seen a deaf mute character in comics before, because it's really difficult to write for. Yeah.
It's because before we were saying how we're like, can we just have the mother Liz shout from, hey, and then you're like, no, he's deaf.
Yeah, like, wait, there's plenty of times where, like, we want Liz to say, like, Luis, come over here, or whatever she's saying, and instead we have to, like, focus on her, focus on him, and have her signing instead of, like, actually.
I'm waiting for Hickman's issue of Hawkeye, completely sign language, so it'd be a nice, like,
platform. Oh, that'll give us everything we need to know.
Exactly, like, the way they even do the sign language within the issue.
Yeah, because we have a way we're going to do the sign language.
We have an
idea. I mean, right now, this is how we're doing it, until we see something better or differently, and then we'll poach that right away and make that our own.
Not poach it, inspired by.
That sounds a lot like stealing to me.
Inspired by it sounds like... Sounds a little bit.
It sounds worse when you say steal or poach, I guess. Okay, so our second segment, that was just a brief little...
Yes, a little brief thing.
You want
to
talk about
it? Yeah, it's going to be on Drunk on Comics. Our buddy's there. If you go to Google drunkoncomics.com...
Why would you Google drunkoncomics.com if you just put drunkoncomics.com into your...
Yeah, I don't know. Shut up, Brian.
Really you can Google Drunk on Comics or put drunkoncomics.com.
Anyways, they did something that... I'm jealous of because I was just too lazy to do it.
Yeah, this is something I wish we had thought of, and I'm definitely going to do next year.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah.
But they were really creative. They did March Madness, right? They used the teams. They had the bracket of the teams. But next to the teams, they put superheroes.
So it's called Drunk on Comics March Madness Superhero Mayhem.
Well, I mean, there are supervillains in it. But anyways.
We get what they mean.
Yeah. They're on now on the Sweet 16. Right, and I guess we can go right into what they have. Well, try. Brian's giving me a look. We'll make
no, no, oh. nothing.
Oh, no, tell me.
No, nothing.
Okay. Well, just a quick thing was with their bracket was pretty much on their website. They broke it down into matches, pretty much.
Just like a regular March Madness bracket.
I'm not sure if they did all the matches. I'm not even, I'll go back and look. But they described some of the scenes, which were really creative. And
well,
the dialogue.
Yeah, but they like seeded them
as they should be.
Spider-Man is one against Western Kentucky Clown from, I assume, from Spawn.
Well, they had like their number ones, we'll tell you right now. You have Louisville. You have Dr. Doom in Louisville. You have Gonzaga and Rogue. You have Superior Spider-Man in Kansas. And then
they're big fans of Spawn.
Big fans of Spawn.
Yeah.
That's pretty creative.
Yeah.
And what I like about this, too, is Not the typical like, you know, the top, like,
yeah, it's 30, not Batman, 30, Spider-Man, 30, Superman,
DC, top 30 Marvel, different ones.
Yeah, for example, it's a lot more creative than that.
Their Cinderella is Pace Pot Pete. And I literally had to Google this. I was like,
it's Trapster from
Marvel. Yeah. Who, at the moment,
I like that name. Pace Pot Pete.
I haven't gone up to look. Other ones, they had Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
Bizarro, Witchblade, Thanos. Black Canary.
They had Bushigold losing to Pace Pot Pete in the.
Okay, well, we'll discuss it. You want to discuss that right now?
Well, sure. Okay, I like Bushigold a lot.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one.
But I do appreciate them putting like a Cinderella story through.
Yeah, that's really smart, actually.
Bushigold? It's not a Cinderella story. They have Pace Pot Pete ranked number 2. They have them as Duke.
Oh, guys, Derek and team.
Maybe we don't exactly know how they ranked them. That's actually true. Maybe.
But one of their fun ones. This is a good one. In their after the second round, they have Deadpool versus Deathstroke.
That's
what you're looking at.
Well, actually, I was looking at Deadpool Jason Todd. That's a good first round matchup.
That's a sexy.
All right.
Sorry. I like as in, when
Jason
I say
Todd
sexy,
is pretty attractive.
When I say sexy, I mean like just.
That's a very strong matchup.
Very strong, awesome. Mystique and Iron Man's fun. That's a fun match.
Yeah.
Could Mystique become Iron Man? Can she?
Why not? Well, I mean, what powers would he have? Would she have then? She wouldn't have the technology, right?
No.
Interesting.
She'd become Tony Stark.
That's interesting. And Tony Stark himself is nothing to write home about. I mean, he's smart.
He's smart, but she doesn't gain the intelligence that he has.
Well, no, she'd gain the intelligence. No.
She
wouldn't gain the intelligence or the...
The wit.
What about all the technology and stuff? That's what makes Tony Stark.
But in the comic, in the cartoon, she did gain her accent. But
that's just like all like body type stuff, including voice. But what about, you know, the suit and stuff? She wouldn't get that, right?
I guess not.
But she could easily be Magneto. She could just take Magneto and just take Iron Man and throw him into the
Here's a cool one. They have Aquaman, they have Georgetown Aquaman number 2 versus 15 Florida Gulf Coast Kingpin.
I don't think you need to know the college.
Well, all right, but I would say they have Kingpin. I would say Iron Man. Iron Man's fun. I know these guys. I know someone.
Wait, Kingpin? That's Aquaman.
Yeah, Aquaman versus Kingpin. They have.
You
Kingpin
said Iron winning. Man.
Oh, sorry, Aquaman versus Kingpin.
Right.
They have Kingpin winning. Because he's fat.
But they have Kingpin as the 15 seed, so I guess. I don't know how they work that. Let me go. My favorite current matchup that just went through was Ozymandias versus Wolverine, and they got Wolverine going, which probably is true. But I love Ozymandias. Like, I know you don't like Watchmen.
No, I don't.
So
overrated.
So it wouldn't be for you.
Sorry, guys.
Let's see if they're overrated. Ozymandias was 5th seed. I don't know, Phil.
I'm trying to look. It's is it South?
Yeah, it's South. It's over here somewhere.
I totally believe Wolverine would kick his ass on a second. Wolverine.
I just don't like the seeding, I guess, because I'd like to see Ozymandias go further than Kingpin.
Yeah, let me see what we have here. I have everything up right now. Do I have... I don't have the... Yeah, I don't have the other ones up. They only have a few up right
That's
now.
That's okay.
Okay. No. Anyways, let's go right into their 16, Sweet 16 really quickly. So they have Dr. Doom versus Zatanna. Zatanna's the witch. Who would you have winning?
I guess I gotta go Dr. Doom.
I will tell you...
It's the easy pick, but...
See... I have to say
It's Louisville. It's Louisville. You got to pick Louisville, right?
Well, especially with the whole the leg broken, in sports wise, I guess.
Kevin Ware. I don't know if they're gonna get that joke. So then let's go to the next one: Deathstroke, Pace Pot Pete. What do you got?
I think Pace Pot Pete, just based on the name, even though they haven't
just ranked, based on the name,
have him ranked number 2. I'd say Pace Pot Pete. I would say he's my Cinderella story.
He was clearly their Cinderella story, even
based
though
on name. Yeah, I have him a Cinderella story.
Yeah. So then we'll go to the West. We got Green Lantern versus Cap. That's a great matchup.
Green Lantern. He throws Cap into the sun and wins.
Well, Green Lantern's almost like not fair. He can do anything he wants. And the only reason he's ever beaten is because they got to like kind of like and, make it fair.
And he can't even...
or yellow.
You can't use that excuse anymore. He's over that.
I know. It's not like Cap has any yellow anyway, though.
It's true. Cobra Commander versus Mr. I can't
remember. Mixtikablix. Whatever his name is.
Cobra Commander is not smart enough to figure out his last name. And Miss Piglet would just fake
so
him
he'd
out.
Blow up because of.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, ready? This is my favorite.
In the
match.
South. This is the strong
this,
one.
This is probably the one of my favorite matches. Superior Spider Man versus Wolverine.
Because either one of them go all the way.
I say Superior Spider Man with the tools and the. Just the body of Spider-Man, but the brain is Dr. Octopus.
Of Doc Ock.
Beats Wolverine.
It
would be a long match. Wolverine would go until the end, but Spider-Man would...
I'd be willing to go Wolverine for this one.
How would you see him defeating him?
I grew up on Wolverine getting beaten up and winning. You know, like, yeah. he gets, you know... He works through it, and he's going to make it through it, but...
I could see a point where Spider-Man would, like, that last... He's just defeating Wolverine the entire time. And, that last
and then
moment,
Wolverine just...
The claws just kind of kill Spider-Man. I see that. The next one is Sinestro versus Kingpin.
Gotta go Sinestro, I think, right? I don't think we were happy with Kingpin moving past...
Moving past Aquaman, no.
Aquaman and Wolverine
X-23,
clone.
Oh, you know it's clone. All right, Brian. I'm proud of you. Don't get me wrong. All right, guys, Brian's not a fan of Marvel. I didn't know that he knew who X-23 was. So I apologize.
I know
Brian.
Enough about it.
I apologize.
I know 90s Marvel. All right. So Spawn Iron Man.
Oh,
I don't think either of us read enough Spawn to make this call.
No. He deals with like demon stuff, right, from hell?
Well, it's a lot darker than your typical.
You know what? I'd say he gets in Iron Man's brain, pours Iron Man a drink. Iron Man's too drunk. Spawn defeats him.
I don't know if that's the way his powers work, but they seem to like Spawn enough if they did the seeding because Spawn is number one. So,
Maverick versus Bizarro.
Magic.
Magic is well. She's the female. She's Colossus's.
It's not Maverick though.
Magic, whatever. I never liked her in the Marvel Universe.
Well, I have a problem with their. Okay. They have Magic beating Hellboy, and I just don't see that happening. I'm a huge Hellboy fan.
She has the powers of Hell, kind of.
Yeah.
Something, whatever. She's Colossus' sister. She's absolutely evil. She died, actually, in the 90s. I own the comic book. She died of the Legacy Virus that ended up killing Colossus. She came back about 5 years ago, and she was all evil, and she's still kind of evil.
Hellboy's a stronger character than Magic, just in general.
She has a sword. Hellboy.
She has a sword. That's your.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? He has the power of hell.
She has like a portal, minions, and a sword.
I take Hellboy, but anyway, Magic Bizarro.
So you're taking Superman's strength, minus smartness. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with Magic.
Definitely. I have Bizarro going too far. Pizarro beating Thanos? I don't know about that.
I actually want to do this next week, too, to go into what they do for second round, see what our thoughts are
on
that.
I wish we had done this all along.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
So that was the bracket. We're excited to do the next week, and we're excited to do next year, where we're going to completely steal this idea. And
we challenge you guys. We
should credit them entirely, though.
We should do a whole March Madness.
But it's like, how would you compete? You guys come up with the rules, and we'll come up with the wins, okay? All right, so...
We're going to Walking Dead next?
Yeah, I think we'll start with the big Walking Dead finale.
Guys, this is... Me and Brian have refused to talk about this until
now. So this is a... We haven't discussed Walking Dead at all, so this is a fresh conversation. All
right. I'm going to go right into Michonne.
Okay.
I love her.
Yeah.
I think I love her more than the comic book, because I think in the comic book, from what I remember... A lot of using the sword, a lot of mute, and a lot of talking.
They're giving her more of a personality here.
Yeah.
And it's really only suggested in the last, like, three episodes.
Yeah.
But it's definitely hinted that going further, it looks like Michonne, you know, especially losing Andrea and stuff, just going to have to deal with her personal demons and not be, like, a total bitch like Rick was.
Walking Dead Trinity, Michonne, Daryl, and Rick. when they were walking into Woodbury.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's the three that left, you know, Maggie and Daryl. I mean, Maggie and Clem had to stay behind, and Herschel can't move.
I was like, I saw that. I was like, yeah, that's I support this 100%.
I want to see Tyrese get into that, you know, most important characters.
Well, I'm saying about Tyrese. Now, in the comic book, Tyrese was Rick's number two. But right. Daryl's his number two.
Uh-huh.
And literally, if Daryl dies, you will lose. I think you'll lose.
They're not going to kill Daryl. If they kill Daryl, there'd be a lot of walk-offs. Yeah. I might be one of them. I won't be one of them. There's a lot of things I say about the show. Like, if they do this, I'm stopping. But I'm going to watch every single episode that's ever made. But
I'm going to complain about it, too. I'm definitely staying on for next season. I'm definitely – I didn't like season two, season three.
You actually skipped episodes in season two.
And season three, I think I skipped like the first. Remember, yeah, I just skipped like the first.
You shouldn't
like,
tell people seasons.
I don't care, guys. Guys, I didn't like the show that much. Easy to catch on. That's the truth, in my opinion.
Well, see, my problem with the show is the first season was really strong because it was a very small BBC style, six episodes.
I like that.
Second
like
season, that. 12 episodes. It's like, all right, let's stretch this out for as long as possible. And then the third season, what was it, 15, 16 episodes?
13.
Right? No, I think it was. It was longer than that. It doesn't matter. It was too long,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then they're trying to fill time in every episode. There's like 8 minutes of really good shit going on. And then like 38 minutes of when are we going to get to the good shit?
Well, in this episode, right? In the first 15 minutes, the governor attacks the prison. Like I literally timed it. Because I'm reading the notes that I wrote off.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a badass episode.
All right, so let's talk about that. The war was an absolute joke. And they built it up for the last half of the season. It was like, we're going to war. And it's like, we're waiting for it. And there was no war. There was not even a skirmish or a battle.
When the governor walked in, I was like, this is going to be awesome.
No, I think I knew that.
I was so excited.
Like, they showed them, like, packing the truck and stuff. And I was like, I'm just waiting for their trap, essentially. And then the trap gets sprung or whatever. And then they just fucking hightail it out of there.
Well, when they were walking in, I was like, oh my god, are they just gonna surround them?
Yeah.
Like I was wondering what the hell was gonna happen.
I knew it wasn't gonna be that. I knew that they were gonna be like outside the prison. I thought they were gone.
I was a little relieved when I saw them outside the prison because I was afraid that some of them were going to be in the jail.
Right. Yeah. Because then they get killed. If they're, yeah.
I was a little relieved for there.
I thought it was gonna be like they'd spring a trap for them and they're on the road already.
Yeah.
And I was like, so they're not even gonna be like. A hint at a war.
Well, when they ran out and then Glenn and Maggie were celebrating, and they started taking off their
eyes. I thought Maggie was going to get shot in the face. I was like, oh, she's dead. She's just like standing there. She's like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, well, they're not gone.
They're doing jumping jacks. And
yeah.
All that.
And I was like, that's a horror death waiting to happen
right there. Exactly, yeah. I was like, I'm lazy. I'm like, it's going to happen any second now. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The governor. I wrote this right here. I was like, I'm literally, please, Governor. At one point, I was like, I don't want him to die.
Yeah.
I want him to live through this episode.
Well, all right.
And then at the end of it, when he didn't die, I was like, oh.
See, at the end of it.
I expected him to die.
It, they just never got back to him. He just kind of like drives off.
Yeah.
Well, first, let's go a little further back.
I'm jumping.
How did nobody shoot the governor when he single-handedly took out his entire army? There was at least 20 people there.
And these two guys were just kind of watching.
Yeah. I mean, that part's not such a sin to me because they were, like, shocked by it. But everyone else, they're the ones getting shot. Nobody, like, thought to turn around. And even – what's his face? The guy that was with Tyrese? He, like, points the gun at the governor. And the governor, like, slowly takes the gun out of his holster and points it at him. Why didn't he take a shot at him? Like, how does he kill his entire army except for – mm-hmm. Martinez and other dude.
Another black guy.
I don't know his name.
I couldn't even tell you his
name. I don't think they named him. I don't know. How did nobody...
No, the chick didn't die either.
Yeah, but she was in the massacre and just...
Question. I don't know if this is like an upsetting one, but when I saw that massacre happen, right, and I saw the body covering her, I was thinking of the Colorado shooting where some guys had jumped in front of their girlfriends and the bodies were covering the...
She just used a dead body.
Well, that's what happened. And I thought that was like, oh, were they inspired?
I wish you didn't bring that up.
Oh, I mean, I just thought it was like I took real life and I was like, huh. I wonder if they used that at all.
Nah, I don't think they took it that far.
I just thought it was like a nice, not a night, but like a.
That's not really. a nice. If they did do that, that's insensitive, I think, right?
I saw that. I was like, oh.
I've seen that. They didn't use that. Sorry. All right, that was a downer.
That got out from the song.
All right. So back to the Walking Dead. Andrea, I think, just got literally about half the episode of her.
A little too much of it.
Okay. Of her, number one, trying to reach the pliers with her feet and then just freezing when she thinks Milton might be moving. And she's like, oh, instead of just like getting the fucking pliers up and taking her fucking hands out of the handcuffs.
I thought she was free at one point.
Well, she was free when Milton got her. Like, she had both hands out, and I was like, it's a fucking zombie. Like, I don't know how anyone's ever been killed by a zombie in this show. Like, if you have the running zombies, although they're not zombies, from 28 Days Later, or...
They're all,
I don't know how anyone's ever gotten killed by a zombie. How a zombie ever sneaks up on someone, unless they're all wearing ballet shoes, which I don't think they are. That would be
a
different phenomenon.
Maybe their joints in their neck are, like, really, like, chicken-wise?
I don't think so.
Like, just moving really quickly?
I don't know. I mean...
I was waiting for Tyrese to save her. I was like, oh. I was, like, literally sitting back on. Tyrese will save her in about like 3 minutes.
Well, I kind of thought she was gonna die because I was like, I didn't see her rejoining Rick's group, and I didn't see her getting back with the governor, obviously, and I didn't see her off on her own again. So, for that much to be dedicated to her, even though I thought she's probably gonna die, it was kind of like a waste to me. It was like, let's get and there was just a disappointing number
of character anymore.
I guess it was just kind of like she was trying to like keep the peace. Like, why can't we talk about this?
She's being an adult.
Yeah, and clearly that was out the window. So was her character.
McFarlane explained the best on the Talking Dead that, you know, she was like, "Why don't we join groups, fight the zombies? Let's talk about it."
Yeah.
But at this point, that her mindset cannot exist in this type of world.
That's exactly my opinion. Is that like these shows and these movies? They shouldn't be about them trying to kill the zombies. Because if it's about killing zombies, then the show has absolutely no depth. It's about the bad things people do still. So I think Andrea was an important like mediator there for that.
Going to bad things people do. I think this is perfect going to Carl's mindset.
Right.
Carl, so he killed someone.
Yeah. He murdered. That's murder.
That's murder.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm not saying I don't agree with it, and we'll get to that.
Well, he needs to come back to reality a little bit. And before I go into my opinion, I want to talk about the end, about his opinion, what he said to Rick, what is this?
Yeah. And then he pretty much dismisses his dad, like, I'm done with you. Move on.
Yeah. But before we go into that, let's go into pretty much he killed the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but in that type of society.
And Hirsch is a tattletale, by the way. I don't like that.
But
it's like, no, oh, that's not what happened. He killed. I saw it, Rick. I saw it.
But in that type of society, I think you have to do that.
I completely agree with Carl. But then I step back and say, you know what? You're 9 years old. What are you doing?
How are they going to deal with that, too? Like what? Like in Walt and Lost. Like. Well, they're just gonna.
Oh, as he ages.
Well, I think they should. That's my big problem with the comic book. They don't age anything. They've been stuck.
Well, I don't think it was over that large of a period of time though in the comics. How?
But I think that should have. I think the comic book would grow better. In my opinion, I'd be more interested in the comic book if they do said
an old man as, Rick.
And if they grew over like you know like each kind of year, so the comic's going on for like what 10 years.
Well, it started in like 2007, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, 2007? I don't. I'll tell you right now. Actually.
Yeah, I think it was.
That's who goes faster, Brian. I lost.
We should wait. Both just. Walking one down. Of us should be talking during this.
No. Damn it.
Why are you being weird about this?
Well, I'm trying to.
2003.
Oh yeah. Okay. So.
Okay. I think we had this discussion on the first podcast, like. Last year, like before we started doing this version of the podcast.
All right, so that would be 10 years. So I would be like, or maybe not even like every, but like have 6 months late, you know. And I think if this show goes that way, I think it's in a good direction.
I don't think they can or will do that.
They'll kill Carl then.
Then they'd have to kill Carl. They'd have to kill all the young characters.
Yeah.
Or
you can definitely tell Beth is growing. She in her face wise. She's definitely.
She's only been on the show for a year and a couple of months now, right?
Well, when they first showed, when they showed Beth in the season, I was like, oh, wow, she looks a little different.
Well, that's.
She's useless, too.
I told you why I'm okay with Beth.
She sings?
No, she likes Frightened Rabbit.
Oh.
One of my favorite bands. Who I'm seeing on Thursday. It's going to be awesome. I was completely weirded out by the suggested Carl Beth sexual relationship thing.
She's like 15.
Well, 10. I think she's probably 16 and he's, what, 10 or 11?
Yeah.
But in this kind of world, you take what you can get, right, Beth?
That's gross.
I don't know.
Would it be
better for her to go for Daryl or Carl?
Daryl's 40.
That's what I'm saying. Like, would it be weirder for her to go older or younger?
How about she find someone closer?
Well, that brings me to my next point. Is best when it's on the road.
Yeah.
So season 4 better not be in the prison. And I don't see how they get on the road because they just picked up all those geriatrics.
Okay, we're going to
all the septuagenarians. I don't know how they're going to.
So,
well, basically, they just picked up a bunch of red shirts. They picked up a bunch of people that they can just expendedly kill because everyone at the prison right now was kind of important.
Yeah.
They were out of people they can kill. Now they just picked up a whole mess of people they can just, oh, let's introduce that guy today and kill him at the end of the episode, like Axel.
So you have Axel's a prisoner, right?
Axel was the guy with the perfectly waxed mustache.
Oh, he's still okay.
The guy that got shot in the face while he was talking to Carol.
Yeah, to Carol.
It's like, oh, let's like Axel for a minute, and then bam.
Remind me to talk about.
Oh, and why did Governor shoot Axel when he could have taken out any number of people? Let's shoot that guy.
Before, remind me to talk about Laurie at the end. I want to talk about that for a second. The waste of Laurie. At the end.
Let's talk about it right now.
Well,
I mean,
I wanted to say quickly that. So, the episode ends, right? With the bus. Rick.
With the old people bus. They're going to Atlantic City or something.
Pretty good. It's a Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
And Carl's like, what is this? And Carl's in the reality of, like, we're surviving. Why are we bringing people in?
We can't pick these motherfuckers up.
Yeah, we can't pick these people up. And it's bringing back to the whole thing with Tyrese. Is it going to be a power thing now between him and Rick?
I don't think Tyrese wants power at all.
But my problem is with Tyrese is...
He's happy to follow as long as he's safe.
His purpose was number 2 in the comic.
Well, let's not talk comics, though. Talk about the character you just watched.
I don't see... Just because you have Michonne, you have Daryl, and you have Rick. That's a trinity right there.
He doesn't have to unseat anybody. He's not looking at
it. Tyrese's character is more than Herschel. Is a bigger character than Herschel. Bigger character than Carol. Bigger character than Carol. I don't see his point. I don't see his purpose. And his sister is useless. She's robotic.
I don't think we've gotten enough into her. I don't think we've gotten enough into Tyrese yet. I mean, I think you're dismissing these characters. I think you're dismissing Tyrese, who we know has depth.
I totally agree.
But like, you're trying to like unseat somebody in the Holy Trinity, but that doesn't need to be. And Tyrese is by no means struggling for power right now. That's not what he's looking to do.
He's happy
to follow as long as his family is.
What his purpose is going to be next season? Is it going to be a power thing?
I hope not, and I don't think it should be. At the end of the episode, I'm happy to see Rick back to normal.
He's definitely back to normal now.
They looked up no Laurie.
Yeah.
But he's been pretty unlikable for most of this season.
Stuff. He just says stuff.
Stuff and things.
And things and
stuff and things.
And blood, right? Something about blood?
Well, there's my...
You spill blood. You spill blood. Did he actually say if you spill blood?
He said in the second or third episode, he's like, this place is ours. We spill blood.
So he's Christian Bale, kind of like Batman.
Well, he's not.
We spill blood.
Okay, I see the difference.
It's different.
I see
the difference. It's different.
Okay. Anyways, okay. Let's go into Laurie. Now, for weeks, I think you, me, and our buddy Louie has been saying for weeks there's going to be something more with Laurie. Wait for it.
We were wrong, I guess.
What a useless.
Yeah, what more with Laurie was just ghost Laurie just, like, disappearing, you know?
I would have been okay with him or just, I don't know.
I think...
Zombie Laurie.
Yeah. But I guess they've kind of done that with things like, you know, Daryl having to kill Merle. Like, after that, that kind of, like, ruined it for me. Like, Daryl having to kill Merle, that was can't really do the Laurie zombie thing.
Death was useless.
So,
I don't even know. You think
that one fat zombie ate
No.
Lori, bones and all? Like.
I wonder if it was just a contract dispute. If she wanted more money.
I don't know. Yeah, I hate to look into shit like that. I just want to talk about the show. I know, so, like, I hate that that's even a question.
It was pointless. Because someone pointed out to me that when Carl, first of all, Carl couldn't even looked away when he shot her. So most likely it was.
Well, he shot her off screen. So like.
But when Rick picked up the bullet, there was no blood. It was a ricochet.
But that was a casing. That's the shell casing.
There's nothing like blood coming out. There's just nothing.
There wouldn't be. That's a casing though.
But if
that's what comes out of the gun.
How far was he from her though?
There wouldn't be blood on the casing. There wouldn't.
But I mean, the blood going, you know.
I don't know.
I just thought that whole thing was kind of like, I expected something.
Yeah, obviously, we both did.
Now, the problem was a lot of people were expecting it, and the writers in the room were like, yeah, there's only like 10 people percent.
I don't think they ever, they probably didn't have that conversation. They're not trying to please the 10 people on Twitter, yeah. You know? I don't think they ever wanted to, I guess, do anything with her, so.
Let's go into the end of the segment. Next season. What do you want? What do you want to see?
Well, I already said that I don't want to see them in the prison at all.
What do you want to see? That's going to be at least two. I want to see them.
Yeah. Like, you know what? Season two did a great job of telling you where we're going, season three. The prison, that last shot. I wish they did something more like teasing season four because there was nothing. There was nothing. Yeah, I'm going
to
watch
it.
There's nothing making me want to watch
the community,
season four.
Community,
I don't want to watch that. That's why I don't want to watch that. I want to see season four on the road again. That's when the show is best. Not just holed up in this prison. And you know what? They can't be in the prison. The governor is still a psychopath. He's still out there. And so obviously he's not going to be a regular in season four. But we better/should see him again in some way, shape, or form.
We have to.
Yeah, you have to. You have to conclude that.
You're going to lose viewers if you don't see him by episode 4 or 5.
There was no conclusion at all for his character. At all.
And I was kind of happy he didn't die, but at the end of it, I was like, oh no, I need closure there.
I wish he would have died or show where he's going. Not just he gets in the car and pretty much kidnaps Martinez and the other guy and is like, you're still with me. Let's go.
Okay, so when Rick came back to the jail, I pictured him already in the jail. Maybe he killed everyone. I was like, oh
that would have been cool. If
that's
like
what I expected.
Yeah.
And then when I saw Maggie,
but there's too many people there that we actually like.
When I saw
for
Maggie,
that to be impossible.
I was like, where the hell's the governor then? When I saw Maggie opening the door, I was like, oh my god.
When I saw at the end of the episode, like Andrea finally die, I was like, this is how they're gonna fucking end it with the bolt, the gunshot, like as the camera's zooming out, showing Tyrese and stuff.
I did too.
And then I like pressed display and I saw that they're
10 minutes left.
10:05.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, we got something. Yeah. Something still could happen. And then it didn't at all.
It was a very polarizing episode. People either a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter
who loved it. On Facebook, everyone I saw was like, "Are you kidding me?" That was the general consensus of
even
everyone I saw.
Bardo was upset.
Yeah, and he's...
And he loves everything.
Yeah.
I actually, to be honest, I was my only disappointment. Like,
Only disappointment? We just talked for 23 minutes about disappointments.
No, but to be honest, like, I wasn't upset about it. I was like, huh.
I
didn't see that.
I was.
I didn't see things coming.
Not in a good way. I didn't see that coming in a bad way. Like, I thought they would have done more. Like, I didn't see this lackadaisical.
This was like a mid-season finale.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
That's what it was. It was a mid-season finale.
That's a good point. Okay, so the next time we're going to do is going to be our new Walking Dead. Every week we're going to talk about Game of Thrones, which is the other huge, nerdy, geeky TV show on right now.
Yes, it is.
And the far superior one.
Yeah. More confusing, definitely.
All right, so, what
all right.
Say your...
I was so excited for this episode, right? I was pumped. I had a whole plan. I was like, all right, I'll watch Walking Dead. I'll go to HBO Go, watch Game of Thrones.
Exactly what I did, too.
I watched Game of Thrones, and I was like...
I'm a little ashamed of my choice, by the way. I wish I did Game of Thrones and just watched Walking Dead whenever it came on. I don't care. Game of Thrones.
The entire nation is probably like that.
Yeah. Well, that's a couple things I throw on Facebook. Like, why didn't I watch Game of Thrones? So go on with your...
All right, so I watched Game of Thrones, and I ended it going,
I wish I knew what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, because to be honest, with like The Walking Dead, like I said, like I can just if I miss an episode,
it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
You'll see it on Twitter, the major point that happened, and then go on to the next one.
And then like I can easily catch on. Oh, this guy died, that girl died.
Game of Thrones is so much more complex.
So just.
But in the best way possible for me.
Yeah, no. The fact that they have a huge mythology. And
there's a huge mythology. There's 33 storylines going on.
Everything's unexpected.
Right.
It's
Walking Dead does a decent job of doing unexpected things. Killing people you wouldn't expect them to kill sometimes.
While we were in Stop and Shop earlier before, I was talking to you through characters, and you were like, yeah, that character was in the last season. I was like, God damn it, why didn't I watch
season? Barristan Selby was the guy that shows up at the end, and you think is about to kill Daenerys, but actually saves Daenerys.
About to kill the grass? No. Something with the grass. Like, yeah, that grasshopper and the egg, right? Was the guy? Yeah, that was the guy at the end.
He's about to kill Daenerys, but he actually was saving Daenerys.
And the
little girl is going to try and kill Daenerys with the little egg thing.
Oh, she had the egg?
Yeah,
I wasn't sure who had the egg. Okay.
Yeah. All right. No, there's nothing mythical about him or anything.
Okay.
He was the guy. He was in charge of the knights of Joffrey and Robert and maybe even Aerys Targaryen.
That would be what's-her-name's father.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Daenerys'
father. That would make sense.
The lineage goes. I mean, the kingdomness, whatever. Yeah. It's Aerys Targaryen to Robert Baratheon, who took it, and then Joffrey, technically Baratheon.
Is there a Mimi?
Mimi.
Meme.
A Mimi.
Mimi. You know what I'm talking about? Like
a Mimi.
Am I pronouncing it wrong?
I don't.
Things wrong. You know, like those photos of just.
Oh, Mame.
Mames.
I thought you were talking about a character named Mimi.
No.
Is there a JoJo in this
this
show?
So I think it is called Mame.
A Mame.
Mame.
Or a meme.
Meme. Of just explanation of king and just.
Not a meme, but there's plenty of a. I post them on every time there's a new season. I post on my girlfriend's wall. Everything you need to know.
Oh, video?
To get to,
alright, maybe I'll just watch it.
There's a couple of videos, and there's a Rolling Stone article that does, they break down everything you need to know.
I don't want to read it, since it's
the books?
No.
Oh.
No, but, the article,
you can't read the article, let alone the books.
I haven't actually read the book, but, if I read the article, I know I'll be like, I have to Google someone, but then I'll get,
See, I'm good with names, so that's probably why I'm good with the show. I'm good with names and faces, so, I can associate... I can associate who they are.
I think I can finish season 1, 2 before next.
Yeah, I watched 9 episodes in the last 2 days.
Well, first season.
As soon as I finished
season was what, 8 episodes?
No, they're all 10 or 11.
Oh really?
10, I think.
Right.
Yeah. They weren't waiting to get picked up. They knew it was going to be a success, so
yeah,
it was 10 from the off the bat.
I think I could do it.
Yeah.
The best scene was Peter Dinklage.
Well, anything with his dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty hard.
See, he really hates him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you see, the father blaming the kid for killing the mom in childbirth, it's like an ignorant old man just hating.
It hits the audience, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, because it's very easy to love Tyrion. Mm-hmm. He's a literal underdog, and you always want to like him and stuff. So when somebody...
I'm worried about dog.
The hound?
Yeah. No, not dog. Sorry. Wow, different character. Same purpose. Dinklage is sidekick.
Oh, Bronn?
Bronn.
Why?
He wants money.
But he's said that forever. He's like, I'm your friend as long as you pay me.
You don't trust anyone on that show.
Well, yeah, they're all backstabbers. But back to Tyrion. I haven't read the book. And my problem with this talking about this show... and I hope we can avoid it, is that there are spoilers out there, period. Because the books are written, they're not changing so much that it's going to be different. So anytime I relate a theory, it can just be like, you're wrong, this guy's going to do that. And it's just like, well, fuck you. It's like, because Walking Dead is doing it differently at least.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just following the same, mm-hmm. Game of Thrones is following the same general path.
That's true.
So that's something... I mean, we're going to talk about it every week. I love the show.
Yeah.
But my one thing I'm waiting for is just – I'm waiting for Tyrion to just pretty much be like, fuck you guys. I'm going to join the Starks or whatever and just pretty much betray them because he's been treated like shit the entirety of the show.
Even when
nobody respects.
When his sister showed up, he was very like.
Yeah.
He opened that part in the door where you make sure there's no spies or anything, and he looked and was like.
And I don't trust her either. Yeah. I mean. Yeah,
and I don't think
they've had more than a tumultuous relationship.
He doesn't trust his brother.
He doesn't trust anyone in his family.
Where's his?
Jamie is on the run.
He's still on the run.
Well, Catelyn.
She sent the.
She let.
Yes.
Him off with Brienne of Tarth.
With Brienne of Tarth, the.
The manly looking.
The manly, yes.
The Jane Lynch of the Westeros. but I'm just waiting for Tyrion to kind of like be like fuck these guys and join the other side because. You know, obviously they're right, and the Lannisters are just incestual fuckheads.
So, one question for you. So you got the zombies from the
White Walkers.
The White Walkers coming. Now, I think the major battle won't happen until season three.
Four. This is three.
Is this, damn it, three already? Okay, sorry. Right, because I didn't watch season one. I watched season two. That's how I got caught up.
But
okay.
He did watch season one.
I did watch season one, sorry. When I actually watched it Sunday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Was
season two.
Season two.
Well, all right. See, before we get into that, just touching on the White Walkers, the first thing I thought was the first thing you see is Jon Snow getting dragged into Seaman's Raider, and you see that giant, right?
That was pretty cool.
And I'm so happy that this show is getting a little more supernatural and stuff. Because the first season was almost 100% just...
Middle Age, kind of.
Just the Middle Ages meets the Sopranos, just people portraying each other and stuff like that. With a couple of hints at dragons and White Walkers. But season two, you see the dragons.
The chick, and the birthing.
Yeah. And the ghost baby. Yeah. And then at the very end of season two... you see the White Walkers for real, and we're seeing giants. I'm glad that this show is getting a little more. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to the mythology, literal mythology, and not just families betraying families and stuff. And I like
now,
that.
Now, with the books, right? So, book one, was that actually entirely season one?
Almost 100%. There are, you know, there are deviations and stuff. There's characters they didn't introduce because they're not going to be important until later. So, they're going to cast these characters until. Okay. Yeah. Same with season two, that's basically just a Clash of Kings. And then season three and four are broken up, the Storm of Swords.
Yes, the most recent book, right?
No. There's seven books. Six or seven books.
I just saw Storm of Swords recently.
Storm of Swords is going to be season three and four.
Okay.
And then I think it's a Feast of Crows. Now, and
are there plans in case the writer does die early?
George R. R. Martin told D.B. Weiss and David Benioff how he plans on ending it in case he dies.
Okay.
He's not the most fit gentleman.
No, he's not.
And he's not the youngest gentleman. He's not 80 or anything, but he has plans for, I think, two more books before.
So we have another, what, 8 years of the show?
Well, since we're already breaking up books into seasons, this can go on forever. It did get renewed yesterday for season four. I've made this argument before, but this is actually the best show I've ever seen since Lost. Like, this is the most complex and rewarding show for me. So, it's not The Walking Dead. Although I did make that argument after season one. So.
I have this smile because I think you're John.
Because John McDevitt.
And every time he brings it up, I just laugh. It hasn't happened in a while, but...
It comes up occasionally.
Okay, anyways, do I have anything to say about this right now?
Anything more about Walking Dead?
Game of Thrones. I have to watch. I do, just to embrace it and appreciate it more. Because when I watched season one,
mm-hmm.
and sadly I knew going in that Ned Stark was going to die.
Yeah.
But the fact that I was watching it by disc. So, like, I was going to, okay.
You
appreciate so
season
much
to watch. And then, there are shows that you have to do that for because they get too confusing.
Well, season two, I didn't appreciate it as much because...
Because you're watching it week to week.
Yeah, I was like,
that was alright. Well, because when you watch it with, like, just, you can watch 10 in a row, there are no down episodes because you can just watch the next episode and that one's great. So, I've pretty much been watching it week to week. So I don't remember there ever being a poor episode, you know, because like I can just, you know, but like as I'm watching it, you know, I'm watching on HBO Go now. I love every episode because there's no I can't experience any downtime, you know. Yeah. And there's something to say about that, I guess. No. And that's a lot of people. That's how they enjoyed watching Lost. A lot of people I made watch Lost after.
Netflix probably helps that with.
Definitely, yeah. There's some people I've made watch Lost afterwards. Like, I forced it. Like, TJ, I was like, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch the show. And, you know, if you can watch every episode, you're not, like, week to week, like, who the fuck, what's going on? Why
they,
is there?
They probably lost a lot of viewers each season.
Yeah, they did.
More and more.
They did. They did.
Thousands and thousands of viewers.
Just the fact that it got a conclusion, and it got a conclusion where they wanted to end it, yeah, says something about any show, you know. That's great. Always good. Okay, so moving past Game of Thrones, let's go into our weekly segment, the director's segment.
All set up, right?
And this week, it is the wonderful M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan, actually, Brad.
I think it's M. Night Shyamalan, but I could be wrong.
On his pronunciation all week.
Really? That's what you did instead of watching the movies?
I did that. But I did watch the movies. The only one, I'll tell you right now, and I forgot that until Brian told me when we went to the store.
No, there's two.
Okay, Unbreakable, I've seen it. I can tell you the major points.
Unbreakable, we're going to gloss over a little bit, which is a shame because this is the one that we really should get into.
Yeah.
Given the nature of our blog, it's kind of like superhero-y kind of stuff.
I do remember being a slow movie.
It's a longer movie. You know, so we're going to gloss over Unbreakable because I haven't seen it in a while. And Phil.
Lady in the Water. I'm sorry, guys. I just totally forgot.
And Phil didn't watch Lady in the Water, which I watched. Usually for this segment, this was more of a ruse to get Phil to watch these wonderful directors' movies.
Love movies. I just don't watch them.
Yeah.
I don't.
So for this
I see really bad movies, guys.
I wanted to actually catch up on movies I haven't seen in a while. So I did watch all of them, and I watched Lady in the Water yesterday. And I actually have a lot to say, but only if it works in a conversation. So I'll just talk about like some talking points.
What should we start with?
Let's go chronologically. Let's go Sixth Sense.
Oh, good. That's the first movie I have right here.
Well, it's chronologically. Yeah. We're glossing over Praying with Anger, which I don't even think came out here, and Wide Awake, which was with Rosie O'Donnell. So.
It's on Netflix, and I literally was going to watch it. I was like, I don't have time for this.
I think you were right for that. And he also wrote Stuart Little. Or parts of Stuart Little, so you can skip that one also. So, Sixth Sense, what do you got?
Okay, so what I have is, it was okay. to be honest.
Well, let's talk about what you texted me the other day. You said Sixth Sense was a horror movie?
Yeah. I could see.
I have never been so unsettled by a movie.
Really?
I mean, I saw it young,
there
so.
There were certain things, but I don't think it was entirely, and even the ending.
But
like
that
happy...
was your problem. That was your problem. It was by no means happy. By no means happy. The only thing happy about it was that Cole got Toni Collette to believe that he has.
She at one point, looking at the pictures, she had a.
No, she just thought he was like fucked up. And there was
something
wrong.
She was looking at the pictures and she was like. Mm.
Right.
And I think in the background, she was. She couldn't think outside the box, thinking maybe something is wrong with him. That
I guess,
this
yeah.
Is. And then when the grandmother conversation happened, she's like...
The scene in the car.
Yeah, which was... Whew.
That was a beautiful scene. Yeah. And that's the scene that made Toni Collette sign up for the movie. That was the audition scene. And she said that like made her cry and stuff, so she...
Well, yeah. I was kind of like...
That was a great scene.
Huh. And the fact that this movie, my girlfriend who doesn't like movies, loves this movie, and I was arguing with her yesterday about it. I was like, really? Hey, I'll show you The Village. We'll watch The Village. We'll watch Devil together.
We'll get to that.
Okay, but I was,
Sixth Senses.
So, all right. So I was looking up some interesting things. 2007, the American Film Institute ranked this number 89 as the 89th greatest movie of all time. No.
Name 88 better. Go, Phil.
Lion,
name them.
Lion King.
Exactly. That's all you got. No, I wouldn't. You know what? I might. Put it in the top.
Actually, I don't think I could name it. But I just
for a horror. I'm sorry, it's a horror movie. It's that movie, the Misha Barton scenes, the throwing up girl.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie. It was upsetting. It like that movie upset me.
Well, even the
and I haven't been scared in a movie since, The Sixth Sense, I guess. I saw it in 1990. I saw it in 2000. Probably.
I'm trying to think of the scene that freaked me out. Okay, you know what freaked me out? When the dog's running out, right? And he sees the kid with the head.
Yeah.
And the dog gets stuck.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Yeah. Oh my God. The other scene was the when he's walking up the stairs, and those two kids who locked him in.
Yeah.
One of those kids looks familiar from another movie. I can't even think of it.
Tommy Tomasano?
One of the little kids?
The one that he walks to school with?
Yeah. What's he from? Tell me right now.
Yeah.
I thought he was from the Sinbad movie. First kid, for a second.
But no. Look it up, though. I know he is somebody.
I couldn't think of it. But the other thing that... But that scene was creeping me out. I was, like, waiting for the person talking about, I didn't steal the master's horse or whatever.
Yeah.
I was waiting to see that ghost. I was kind of waiting. I was like, and I think I would have been freaked out if I had seen it. I was like, oh, my God.
There was plenty of that movie that freaked me out, though. There was plenty of, like, creepy ghosts and the tent scene in his house. It was upsetting.
That was the word I always used for me. The ending, the fact that, like, what's his name realized, oh, I had to solve the crime I couldn't solve the problem I couldn't solve earlier,
yeah,
being shot at.
And that's not a happy ending, though.
And then, but he smiled.
Oh, because he smiled at the happy ending.
It was.
Come on.
Because he realized, okay, I can't do, I had to do
it. He's dead!
I had to do what I couldn't do before, and I had to ensure my wife that she wasn't second. And that, because, like, I guess she did hear him or whatever.
Yeah. Well, she was asleep, that part, right?
Yeah.
It was by no means a happy ending. It was a satisfying ending.
For a horror movie, do you want a satisfying ending?
You don't want to be satisfied?
A horror movie, I've rather seen like that.
What, you'd rather be disappointed?
I don't see
that's the difference between...
I don't see horror movies.
Yeah, so... You know what?
What's the kid's name, by the way?
Tommy Tomasano.
Tommy Tomasano.
There he is.
Trevor Morgan. What movie is he in? Let's find out.
I like when movies have an ending. Oh, he was Eric in Jurassic Park 3. Or Ben. I forget. Eric was the kid. Yeah, Eric was the kid, right?
That's it.
All right, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, stop looking at it. That's not important anymore. The fact that it ended...
Eric.
The fact that it ended with Malcolm Crowe accomplishing something doesn't make it happy. The dude's dead. That was like his unfinished business. Well, you ever seen Casper? But unfinished business, man. That's a shout out to all the Casper fans. And Bill Pullman.
Oh, Bill Paul.
No, we're not going to. I don't think we're going to get to that.
We're going to talk about Independence Day. We even put that on the list.
Okay, moving on. All
right, sorry.
Anything else about Sixth Sense?
No.
Oh, actually, that it was stolen. That the premise was stolen from an Are You Afraid of the Dark episode.
That's really sad. That happened twice.
We'll get to that one for that one. Yeah. So, bit of a thief. I hope he doesn't listen to this because I do respect him as a director. All right, so. Semi-chronologically, skipping over Unbreakable, let's go to Signs.
Yes, let me go to my Signs. I liked it a lot. I love Phoenix. What's his name?
Joaquin.
Joaquin Phoenix. His character was amazing.
Yeah.
When he's talking about the miracles, and he's talking about, like...
Miracle Man.
Two scenes that stuck... Because I did see this.
The scene on the couch.
Years ago with the Sharpies. See on the couch where he's talking about the...
I take the gum out of my mouth,
and
she throws up.
And she throws up.
Yeah.
And then when he's watching the video from Brazil...
Vamos, children! Vamos!
He's obsessed with the TV and he's in the closet.
Yeah.
And then...
And then Graham just walks away and he's still talking. He's like trying to...
And then when Mel Gibson goes to go see M. Night's character...
Yeah.
And he comes out the closet. Oh, where are you going?
Yeah.
Oh. Now this movie... If not for the acting, like picture, I'm not jumping ahead, but for a quick example, picture The Happening, right? Fun, cool concept. Acting was just awful.
What are you saying about Signs?
I'm saying the acting, I think, sold the movie.
Okay, thank God you were saying that.
Yeah. The kids were incredible.
The kids were amazing.
Incredible.
And Bo was adorable.
Like Super 8 incredible.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. I think M. Night Shyamalan writes, at best, decent dialogue, decent scripts. Mm-hmm. So if this was put in the hands of lesser actors, Joaquin is obviously an amazing actor. Mel Gibson, despite his personal life,
are incredible.
Mel Gibson's one of the best actors. I love him.
Agreed.
And the kids were amazing. So this could have gone south, but the most important thing to me was that aliens had nothing to do with the movie.
No.
That... they're not. They have no, like, they're just kind of seen, mm-hmm. and they were just driving the movie. But they had nothing to do with the actual plot, really. It was really the development of Graham and the return of his demons so he could refind his faith. And, like, you know, you just see... I love the subtleties that you never see the aliens or the ships or anything. You see the lights on TV. Mm-hmm. You see...
Even at the ending, there are only a few times that you actually, for a second, get
when you when you see him, like, full form with the alien. And
even, like...
I thought they showed him too much then.
Even when they first showed him, like, you got, like, a little blur, and then you got, like, the face, and then you went back to the blur.
There was
enough. If they had kept it on the television,
that's what I think they should have done.
That would have been great.
If they just kept the reflection of the alien instead of showing it. Up to that point, you saw the alien's hand when Graham cut the hands off. You saw the alien's leg when Graham was on the field. Mm-hmm. And you saw the alien on top of the house, you know, distance.
You
saw him full bodied, but he was across the street. Standing on a house or on their barn, maybe.
Yes, when he first saw him in the beginning.
Yeah.
When he was tucking the kids to bed or whatever.
There's an alien in my room. Can I have a glass of water? Yes. That part.
She, Abigail Breslin, is incredible.
She's great.
And I was literally just like, Roy Culkin, who. I thought Roy was his older brother who's in. Oh my god, I'm sorry for seizing everyone.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, which brother is that?
Kieran Culkin.
I thought that was Kieran Culkin until now.
I don't even really know what else Rory was in, but he was phenomenal in this.
Yeah.
So I think a problem that a lot of people had with this movie was, like, aliens coming to the planet that's 70% water when water is their weakness. And I think that's easily explainable.
Yeah.
In that, you know, there's not a lot of inhabitable planets out there. We've discovered that. And even less harvestable resources. And what they were... Even the radio reporter said they were here to harvest us.
Yeah.
So I think they were here for, you know, people.
Yeah.
And we're the only other bipeds in this galaxy. So that's what they were here for.
The only weird thing was, like, why did Edmund Chamberlain's character go, oh, they didn't like water. Like, how does he just –
I don't know how he connected that.
Yeah.
But despite all my argument of, like, why they came here and, like, that shouldn't be an argument against them coming here. They still should have worn suits or something. There's still a lot of water about. They should have had suits on or something.
At the same time, they might not have been super intelligent, you know?
Yeah, they got here. They're super intelligent. Sorry. Period. If you can get here, microbes can't get here.
Unless they've never been able to deal with water before.
But then why would they come here?
Well, they came here for the... Like you just said, they came here for the humans.
Yeah,
they've never actually had to...
But they would have had to have... Like they said in the beginning, they were here for reconnaissance first. They were scouting the area. They would have discovered this ward and be like, guys, I don't know. Yeah. No, but I still think there are some flaws. No, there was flaws. But I still think that this is a harvestable planet, and this is one of the few out there.
Mel Gibson's character's wife. The whole swing the bat.
Swing away.
Did she make a comment about the water? Did she not make a comment about the water?
No comment about the water.
She made comments about the kids. What were they?
It was tell Morgan to play games. It's okay to be silly.
Yes.
Tell Bo to listen to her brother.
Okay. Which was
he'll always protect her.
Yes.
Tell Graham to and he said, like, I'm here. I'm right here. To see. Tell Graham to see.
As in maybe see, like, just believe maybe still. Yeah.
And then tell Meryl to swing away.
Do you think that was kind of like she saw the...
That's the point of the entire movie to me, is that it's about not coincidences, it's about fate.
Yeah.
And that's why Mel Gibson gets his faith back.
Because he realized...
Because it was all, you know, Morgan's lungs were closed for this because fate, like, this was going to happen. This is predisposed. I hate anyone that didn't like this movie.
I loved it.
Yeah, this is without a doubt my favorite Shyamalan movie, and it's definitely one of my favorite horror movies. Or, you know, thrillers, I guess. I don't know. It's borderline horror, I guess. It's...
See, horror, I guess, for me, is just I need a lot of blood, a lot of stuff.
That's not horror, though. Horror isn't supposed to be about gore and shit like that. It's about making you feel something terrified on the inside. And I think this movie did do that. Sixth Sense definitely did that. And Signs does that.
This more did that in the basement scene?
Well, it was... This is another movie. We've discussed this kind of thing before, where what you don't see is more important than what you do see. I love any movie where it all takes place in one area. Like The Thing, it all takes place in this one, you know. And this is all just, this is Night of the Living Dead to me. It was just all in this one house. There was two scenes, pretty much, you know, in town and stuff like that. And your imagination is so much worse than just showing us the aliens. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was a little disappointed that they even showed us the alien full-fledged.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. It would have been nice, like, you know, tease, if anything. Like,
more imagination.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. The next one we're doing. It might be chronological. The Village.
I saw this in theater, and I walked out very happy, unlike a lot of people. Very happy with this movie.
Yeah, me too.
I
think, like, a lot of people hated this movie because, Shyamalan's penchant for twists became something of, like, a joke at that point.
Yeah.
And this movie had a lot of twists.
This is movie number three, right? So,
well,
for
twist us,
wise,
it is.
No, but for, like, his twists.
Unbreakable was... So this is four, at least.
So people came in expecting twists. They were looking for twists.
Yeah.
So seeing this movie, they're probably, like, 20 minutes in going, okay, what can we start making guesses now? Now, this was only actually seeing this. This was my first...
Shyamalan.
Maybe seeing it in theater, my first Shyamalan.
Well, I think this is another movie not about what it seems. Like, Signs wasn't about aliens, and The Village wasn't about monsters. It's about people who are too scared to, you know, to live in the world, so they had to create a way to protect them and their loved ones from the pain of that world. And a lot of people were disappointed that it wasn't a horror movie. And once you got... I'll get back to that point, but once you got past that, once you saw the movie for what it was, it's a good fucking movie.
No,
it was a strong movie.
Bryce...
It has its problems. It has its problems,
Bryce
again.
Dallas Howard sold this movie for me. Did the whole... Her journey? The fact that she was blind?
Yeah, but, half the movie, I didn't even see her as blind. Well, I mean, because she could see people's colors and stuff, whatever the that means.
Blind people do have, you know, when it comes to, you know, super senses.
But she could see colors and stuff.
I'm not blind. I can't tell you if I, you know, like...
No, but, like... I don't know.
Do you know blind... We don't, like...
They can't see colors. They're blind.
The fact that they can sense things. Maybe that was her way of saying I can...
That was her sixth sense. Actually, fifth sense. She did lose that one.
Okay, yeah. Well, the sixth sense was her...
What's her fifth sense, then? She didn't have sight. Don't count them up. Uh-uh. She didn't have sight. That's her fifth sense. Seeing colors. A person's individual color, whatever the hell that means. Did they ever get back to that?
No, they never.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, his color is red. Because that was, like, you know, clear that that's what they were suggesting. They just never got back to that.
The only person who I thought was kind of, I wasn't a fan of was...
Well, why? Why didn't you like William Hurt? Who was the town elder, essentially?
I guess he's bad.
Say it.
Well, you know, jeez.
Say
I
it.
I feel like I'm on the...
Say
I'm
it.
Not, all right. Maybe I thought he overacted a little.
Okay, my problem is that William Hurt has been underacting since 1979. I hate William Hurt. He's never good. He always just, like, he's just talking in that dry tone. And actually, in The Village, I saw him raise his voice a couple times, and I was like, I'm a little wrong. He actually did a little acting in this movie. You're probably not experiencing terrible William Hurt movies, but I always hate him.
I guess that'll be our next segment.
No.
No.
He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for History of Violence, which you haven't seen. Vigo, graphic novel.
No,
adaptation. It was good, but he's in it for like 8 minutes, and he's not particularly good. I was like pissed that he was nominated. Another talk for another day.
Adrian Brody was incredible, even though just...
Brody was good.
And he didn't get enough,
He won an Oscar 2 years before. So he's doing okay.
Well, I mean, he
hasn't done anything
commercials.
Since.
Commercials.
He does the Gillette commercials.
We talked about this last week. Gillette commercials. That's about it. He did
with Andre Benjamin.
He did
and
Ben Affleck Superman movie.
Gael Garcia Bernal. He did what?
That Ben Affleck Superman movie. With
Ben Affleck
played
Superman movie.
The Reeve, 1950s Superman.
Hollywoodland.
Yeah.
It's like Ben Affleck Superman. What? Yeah, and well, I mean, that was like still in his quote-unquote heyday. That was when he was supposed to be making good movies. That was like 2 years after The Pianist. And unfortunately, he's kind of... I want to see him as Doctor Strange because I want to see him do something good.
I see what's his name is. Hugo as Doctor Strange.
Hugo.
What's his fucking name? Who played in
Hugo from Lost?
No, what's his goddamn name? From Lord of the Rings and the other comic movie.
Vigo.
Sorry. My Vigo.
Brian Hugo. Hugo. Okay.
It was all the same. Just overall in the village was, by the way, do you think now, when they opened the box, I was like, okay. You saw that coming. When the box opened up, you're like, okay, here's a twist right here.
Right.
So
yeah.
You find out that they're from our timeline, they're our world.
Right.
They paid off the government or they paid off the state?
William Hurt was Walker or whatever. He his dad was a quadrillionaire or whatever.
Yeah.
So they bought that land and they're now M. Night Shyamalan's character says it in the end, they're not allowed to fly over here.
Yeah.
And it's completely walled off, so this is like, you know, as safe as can be. They're not going to get discovered.
William Hurt and, what's her name? Ripley's character.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Awkward, like, tension.
Well, it was like a sexual kind of...
Because he was married to, what's her name, from Picket Fences. I can't think of his wife.
See, like, his wife was a complete non-entity.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember watching it for the second time, and I was like, he's married in this?
Yeah.
I thought he was with Sigourney Weaver, like trying to get with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, he was married.
Yeah.
She was useless. It was like just like a little weird thing that was like,
yeah,
for audiences to notice. But overall, I think The Village is my favorite movie.
Shyamalan.
Movie. Yeah. Yeah.
See, one problem that I said I was going to get back to was that people expected a horror movie.
Oh.
And I was one of them. I expected it. But I was also pretty satisfied after watching it. But there's a really good opportunity for them to make it a horror movie, and they completely kind of fucked it up. And by they, I mean Shyamalan.
You think the monsters should have been real monsters?
So when Bryce Dallas Howard is out there, and Adrienne Brody, you know, when she's like facing off against that monster, that's up against a narration from William Hurt saying like there were legends of there being monsters in this area. And we're like, oh, so the monsters do fucking exist. And it was just something that they kind of based it on. And I was like, yes. And then it was just Adrienne Brody. And I was like, why didn't they just make that the monster? It was just like another twist that he wanted to do. Why didn't they just make that a monster? And I couldn't think of a single reason why not. Like, why you wouldn't do that. It was a perfect opportunity to satisfy the horror aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
And still get his yah-yahs for twists.
He wanted a lot of yah-yahs, man.
When Bryce Dallas Howard like is going off in the forest, and Michael Pitt and the other guy, Fran Kranz, they're like accompanying her.
Incredible, by the way, incredible cast for this entire
movie. It was a good cast. Jesse Eisenberg too. It was a good cast.
He's in the background. The guy, the first guy who backed up. He was in Dollhouse. He's now in nothing. Josh Whedon's new movie.
That's Fran Kranz. He was in Cabin in the Woods.
That. And then the other guy was in Dawson's Creek. He's in like another stupid movie.
It's Michael Pitt. He was in Last Days and Funny Games. And
Last
Boardwalk
Days.
Empire.
But, yes, he's in Boardwalk Empire, right.
He's an actual good actor. Anyway, so like when the first guy abandons, I was like, oh shit, that's kind of shitty. Then Michael Pitt, he was like, you know, they're not going to hurt you.
These rocks will make you feel better.
Yeah, well, not even that. That's her excuse. Then she dumps the rocks. But when he was like explaining like why he has to leave, she's like, they're not gonna hurt you, don't worry. I felt like saying like, I'm fucking blind. How do you expect me to get to the towns? Like, I can't see things. And also, why didn't William Hurt just go to the towns? Absolutely no risk there.
No. His risk was the pledge, the oath.
There was no oath. There's no real oath.
Their oath
it's not a real thing.
But their oath was that if they went to the real world.
So instead I'll send my daughter, who's going to die in the woods of starvation and exhaustion.
And then when they talked about it outside the church, it was like a sacrifice. If she gets through it, it's about that.
No, that's not what William Hurt said. That's what Brendan Gleeson said. He was like, I hope it works out, but if it doesn't, you know, that'll be the end of our thing.
Yeah.
Not like if she dies. It's like if we get caught. Why didn't William Hurt just go? There's absolutely no risk. He can just go, get the medicine, come back, and like still the only people who would know were the people who knew to begin with. And plus, he wouldn't have to risk his daughter's life.
Also things.
His blind daughter.
Surgeries or births. Just like, how do they, or just the flu?
Well, that was part of their sacrifice. They were like, this is a simpler time. We'll deal with that stuff to deal with being happier and not having to deal with murders and shit. Yeah. And then there was a murder. And Brendan Gleeson says, misery will find you.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear. It's, you know, it's his son died, Lucius died, or got stabbed, rather.
Yeah, I had a, my leg hurt there. Sorry.
Phil got a Charlie horse and felt it deserved the blog's time.
Sorry, guys. It came out of nowhere.
All right, so I just want to mention Lady in the Water briefly. Okay,
please tell me about this.
Well, it was a weak movie.
I've only heard people complain about it. Never.
You know, it had potential. It was like it had good intention of doing folklore in a modern setting, but really just didn't do it right. The writing was terrible. You know, Cleveland Heap goes to Bob Balaban's character, who was the critic, because he's an expert on plots, and then asks him who the symbol guy could be, and then the critic just answers as if it was an easy question or a normal one, like, oh, the symbol guy's going to be this guy, and then the guild's going to be this group of characters, and it just leads them directly to who these characters really are. It was just like, it was completely forced, completely unnecessary. And then these people, like, accept their roles so quickly. Like, the dude just reads a crossword puzzle. Like, that makes sense. And he thinks that that's going to be, like... But then he actually does kind of deny his role. But, like... And, I mean, even the names of the folklore people was completely uncreative. The Scrunts and the Narfs. It was like...
Narf sounds...
From Pinky and the Brain.
No, someone else...
Narf!
Someone's last name.
Oh, Timmy Snarf?
I mean, I was actually sharp. I wasn't going to say it, but all right.
And the mythology would have made so much more sense if it was in a goddamn pool. It was like if they set that on like a lake or something. It was like, because then the mythology could have gone back and shit.
I see your point there.
Like, the pool's been here for, what, 30 years at best.
The hotel, yeah. So it would make sense that
but if it was in a lake, creatures. There could have, I mean, they do kind of explain it, but it was like with a line of dialogue. But if it was in a lake, they could have developed the mythology. Like, it's been here for centuries and stuff. And, I don't know.
How was my buddy, Paul Giamatti?
He's always good. He's never the problem when the movie's bad.
Bryce Dallas Howard, how was she?
Yeah,
Spider-Man, she wasn't, Spider-Man 3 or 2?
3.
She wasn't
there. The shit one.
She wasn't there. Come on, Bryce. You're so good in The Village. Come on. Guys, I apologize for not watching this. I actually forgot about it. I sent Brian a text message saying I need Signs, I need Unbreakable, and I had a backup plan, and I forgot about Lady in the Water. So, guys,
yeah,
it's my fault.
You made me – I was coming straight from Pennsylvania and going straight to work, and I had to go home and pick up those movies up.
Oh, I thought I thought you were going home, showering, and then going
home. No, I had 7 minutes at home.
Oh, Brian, I'm sorry. Actually, I had plans to bring comic books, and then you text me. And when you didn't say you had Unbreakable, I was like, oh, I'm just going to stay home then.
So, you got what you wanted.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brian.
Terrible person.
Okay, so let's go right. Ah, damn it, guys.
All
right,
so
I say right.
Every single podcast, it's not Phil and it's not me, it's both of us. We say, all right, let's get right into X, Y, or Z, whatever
it is. We're going to Google different terms next week.
Instead of get right into.
Like,
so,
let's do this.
That being said, let's get right into the happening.
All right, so
there's nothing good to say about this.
No, there's nothing good.
Literally nothing good. And I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Actually, no. There is one good thing to say about it. And I'll say this
right
now.
You're
wrong. No, there is. Because I was actually doing
the music. The music might have been good.
No.
Was it James Newton Howard?
No, the music, if they had done the music properly, maybe.
Oh, then the movie would have been a masterpiece.
No, but it would have been, like, for example, I want to talk about the.
What was
the scene? Where Mark Wahlberg, and they're just focusing on his face, and they're going back, like, in the planes, they met with the military guy, and with a bunch of other people, and they get separated, within, like, 20 feet.
Yeah.
And they're focusing on Mark Wahlberg's face, and his eyes, and his mouth, and everything's just all, and he's, like, freaking out, and he's trying to think about science. I was like,
well, he's a shockingly bad actor.
I was like, this is just the worst scene ever.
That was the worst movie I've ever seen in theaters.
I was thinking of actors who could have maybe played.
It wasn't.
You think
the script was so bad?
Well, the green.
The idea was
it was the green effect. By the way, that's the over. It was the spec script for it was called the green effect. Did not. I'm trying to. I had like a bunch of. Okay, sorry. Various studios had zero interest in this. Various. It was like no one wanted to buy this. Now,
what did Miramax?
That
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
That I don't know. But several studios did not want to buy this
for good reason.
Understandable. Now I do like that. M. Night Shyamalan describes it as a paranoia movie from 1960s. On the lines of the
he's
birds.
Wrong though. It never got there.
I think it didn't get there with the acting. I think if it was better acting.
What about the script?
See,
it's a weak script. All right, I always describe this movie, getting to your acting point, as if they only had X amount of film, so they could only film each scene one time. It was like, shit, all right, that'll have to do. Move on to the next one. It was like they never got anywhere.
It was,
like Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, she was awful.
She's not terribly good. I mean,
she's good in the
New Girl. She's funny.
I was so upset when her first scene. I was like,
it's like everyone forgot how to act. John Leguizamo was okay, actually. He was all right, but
when he
Marky Mark is terrible.
Oh, like I said, the scene in the plane, in the middle of like the woods, and his face. Oh my God, the scene with the old lady, that was awful.
I saw this movie in theaters, and it was the worst movie I've ever seen in theaters. I saw it like once on TV. I was like, let me give it another shot, and I was like completely just. Reinforced my opinion the first time, and I haven't seen it since. But I kind of want to watch it now, again, just to experience
Brian, you
the awfulness.
Just watch it.
I don't think I could. I think I'd only have worse
quick,
things
was a,
to say.
It was a quick movie. It was a quick movie. It wasn't long.
Well, that's positive, I guess. It's like you go to a restaurant. Like the food's terrible, but the portions are great. You know, it's like the movie was terrible,
but
it was short at least.
I do like the idea that it was like a paranoia movie.
But it wasn't.
Well, when I read that, I was watching the movie.
Tried.
When I read that, like I was literally researching the movie as I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I read that, I was like, oh, okay.
Well, they tried to make like The Birds or The Crucible or something like that, like about like panic.
Yeah. Well, they had The Birds and the Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the whole panic thing.
That's funny because I watched Signs today and I watched the deleted bonus features. That was his exact. Two movies. It was The Birds, Invasion of the Body Snatchers as his inspiration, also Night of the Living Dead. So it just shows you his unoriginality.
Well, that upsets me.
So I just want him, because stylistically, happening aside, and we didn't either of us watch The Last Airbender because fuck that. I like his direction. The direction in Village was perfectly creepy, and Signs, it was, we both love that. And Sixth Sense, it was.
We've got to say something about the signs for the Village. Sorry, I don't mean to apologize. Jump back into that movie. We do forget to say one thing about that. He got in trouble for that too, for setting an idea.
Oh, that's right. The Village, it was
Running
this
out
book
of time.
Called Running Out of Time.
Yeah.
A young adult novel, and it was basically the same exact plot.
The book's about a village where the people who live. And they think they're from the 1800s, when actually it's set in the present day.
And then they have to go get medicine.
Yep. And then
sounds familiar.
Threatened to sue for plagiarism.
She threatened to sue, and he
and
dismissed it as like
similarities.
Yeah, he was like, it's just basic similarities.
So actually, it doesn't go
same exact plot.
It doesn't go into anything else. I mean to jump everyone. Sorry for. I apologize. I just want to mention that because we mentioned earlier. Also, there's the other movie
about. The similarities for Sixth Sense.
Yes.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes. Which I don't actually. Is that on Netflix? Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I watched it online. I don't think it was on Netflix.
But was there similarities? Definitely.
Oh, yeah. It was about a girl who doesn't know that. No, a boy who doesn't know that he's dead. And then in the end, you find out that he was dead all along and his sister's, like, dealing with it and shit. Like, she never directly talks to him.
He found out via
it was at the bowling. Was at the bowling alley. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So
I remember that. Yeah. All right. So, anyways, back to the happening. Literally, if you had taken any of the actors from The Village...
I disagree.
Really? I think this movie would be a lot better.
It would be better, yeah. If you put Joaquin in the Marky Mark role...
This movie became...
And maybe Bryce Dallas Howard in the Zooey Deschanel role.
When I got from the library, it said horror. It became a love story and the creation of a family.
Yeah. The Happening?
Yeah, The Happening became... Because you had Marky Mark...
I think we're spending even too much time on...
It became a crappy... Because you had the two teenagers killed, and Marky Mark reacted over it. Zoe didn't get upset about it.
Yeah. It was a complete waste of a movie.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. And I'm sorry if I'm spending too much, guys, but...
We spent a lot of time on movies that we cared about, so that's fine.
I had to say something about it.
All right, so the last segment of the day, because we're running out of time, the new comics for April 10th. I think we'll start off with Batman 19, which we discussed.
Yeah, my theory is Jim Gordon knows
that. We hope that it's finally Jim Gordon discovers that Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Or has hints or anything.
Yeah, and Bruce Wayne has to kill him, according to the cover, but that won't happen at all.
That will never happen. Yeah. Ever happen. What else comes out next week?
Constantine number 2. Let's go semi... So Phil wasn't crazy about Constantine number 1. It would have been nice to see a year
Jeff
1.
Jeff Lemire. And like you just said, I want a year 1 arc.
That would have been cool.
Guess what? Hellblazer ended on 300 issues. I didn't read any of those 300 issues.
Well, that's your problem.
Well, did you read 300 of those?
Not all of them.
But would you not appreciate maybe a year 1
arc? What's good about New 52 is most of them were early on in their career, and this might have been early on in his career. You don't really know, but it certainly wasn't the beginning of his career. You know,
I
see what you mean.
Felt like a one shot to me. The ending, there was like
it didn't feel like a one shot. I felt like in the middle somewhere.
I was literally walked out going, that sucks.
Well,
what's next? Tell me what's next.
The next one I had was Star Wars number 4. Which are you still reading?
No, I stopped.
See, I like Brian Wood, obviously.
Very good.
I like Star Wars, obviously. But I wish that this was a post-Return of the Jedi one instead of just in the middle, in between.
That's why I stopped.
4 and 5.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't need this.
And they're introducing characters, and I'm like, I like this character. And they're introducing villains, and I'm like, that's a good villain. But it's like, how long is this person going to last?
Well, he has plans.
This is supposed to be like it's going to go on.
Yeah, yeah. He even said on Twitter, he's like, for all you haters, this is going on to issue 17 or something. Because Marvel bought it, and there were fears.
No, Dark Horse. Marvel bought it.
Marvel and Disney bought it.
Yeah.
And there were fears that Dark Horse was going to end it. And this is a huge Dark Horse comic.
Yeah. Star Wars is kind of like a cornerstone with Hellboy.
Yeah.
And it's good, but I think we're more excited about the Star Wars kind of almost prequel thing that they're doing, whatever that is.
So what I thought was that it was the original...
Phil thought it was like the script that was just before, you know, the final script.
So and no that Princess Leia.
It was no Princess Leia.
No Obi-Wan Kenobi, no one Yoda.
Right.
R2-D2, it was...
No, C-3PO and R2-D2 were there.
I thought it was like another robot besides R2-D2.
No, they were both there. They were both there. But they're actually even going further back into Lucas's original script, and they're developing that.
I would buy that.
That's cool.
That's different. That's something that's, once again, like, I love things that have been done. I will buy that.
Yeah, that's a very different kind of concept. It's like something that you've seen before, but a kind of different way to go about it, different, like,
new
style
interpretation
about it. Yeah,
and everything.
Which is definitely a cool idea.
Especially with comic books, you have ways to move around it.
Yeah. You have a little more freedom.
It's like a what else, what if.
Yeah, true.
So I am totally sold on that.
But there's no announcement on a writer or artist or anything like that.
No, there is not. Yeah. It's WonderCon. WonderCon had it was weird times, Easter weekend, so they had a few things to say.
Yeah.
That was about it.
The important stuff for me was the Del Toro Dark Universe stuff.
Yeah, that's something that I said.
Couldn't be more excited. And it was John Constantine is the main character, which...
He has blonde hair.
Pretty obvious. But not necessarily British.
I'm a Charlie, you know, from
Charlie Hunnam from.
I don't get. Sons of Anarchy. I don't get why no one's pushing this.
Especially because
this on Twitter, people, follow, please push this.
Yeah, because Del Toro's working with him right now for Pacific Rim. Yeah, that would be cool. I think people don't know that he's British.
Are these guys blind?
I think people don't know that he's British. Sons of Anarchy. He's so Texas. Del Toro is like, I don't know, that American over there. No, come on, mate. I'm from
I even said this on his wall. I was like, dude, please, love God, just play John Constantine.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Why aren't you do you not like comics?
He'd be good. I mean, he's just known enough that it'll be strong, and just I don't know about unknown enough, but he's not like Brad Pitt or anything like that. He's not like huge.
On FX, you have I don't know. It's lasted how many? It's going on 6 seasons now.
Yeah.
It's a reason that's that long. You can get that audience. That's a huge audience you will bring into,
that'll bring into the
movie theater. People that I know will go, oh, I'm going to try this out.
If Jax is going to be on that movie, yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah.
I know 10
Sons people. Of Anarchy is unbelievable, by the way, so you should watch that. And any time I've ever seen him in something that's British, though, I'm a little less sold.
Dude, undeclared, watch it. Funny as hell.
Yeah.
I'm in like episode four, like, oh, that's Jax.
Nicole saw Jax. In Cold Mountain the other day.
With Jude Law?
Yeah, and Jack White.
Jack White's
from the White Stripes.
I know Nicole Kidman was in that.
Yeah. And Renee Zellweger. It's Cold Mountain's not important.
I don't even know they're in there. I'm going to go check it out.
So the next one, we have Saga number 12. We just talked about Saga last week, I think.
Yeah.
But I could always talk Saga.
It's gonna be this Aftermath gonna be
Prince,
Bar.
This is Prince Robot.
Yeah, so it's gonna be fun to see. Here's a because you've seen the seen will. Him in a bit. You saw Stark's death, so it's gonna be another Bounty Hunter. Well, just like
the Stark.
It's not Stark.
Yeah,
Stark. The Prince's interpretation was gonna be kind of fun.
Yeah, we haven't seen his point of view in a while. And
I think it's gonna be cool as battles are going on around him. He's gonna be freaking out.
Yeah, and he's hunting them down. Obviously, so.
I would be okay if. You see his interpretation of what the hell happened in the last, like, 2 or 3 issues.
Just kind
of,
like, reacting to it?
Yeah. And he's, like, freaking out because he can't deal with war.
Right.
So that I'm supportive of. I am 100%.
Yeah, we haven't had Prince Robot in a while, and even when we did have him, you hated him, obviously. He was kind of a prick.
There was nothing good about him at all.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he felt bad he couldn't get up, but that's about it.
Did you?
I mean, you're like, oh, man, aww. Poor guy.
Yeah, poor... Cyborg.
Poor cyborg dick.
So the last one I had to talk about was Sex Number 2. Let me preface my are we friends with Joe Casey Facebook or Twitter?
Let's not
rip
this apart, but like you can say what you want to say.
I wanna say what I wanna say and I don't wanna offend anyone that likes us, well, I guess. That's kind of a cowardly...
The coloring was incredible.
The coloring was great.
Incredible.
All right, good thing. Start off something good right off the bat. After that...
Cool concept.
But, all right, so there's my problem right there.
All
right. You read the script. If you didn't know anything about it beforehand, you have no idea that there are superheroes involved?
Former superheroes.
Who the fuck knew that? You read that script and it was like... What? There were superheroes?
Yeah.
So if you didn't know anything about it, if you didn't know what Sex was about already, then you had no idea what was going on after reading it. Like,
yeah.
And there were superheroes involved? Oh, who knew? And like he kind of like developed this like cool alternative future, I guess.
Definitely different. I like cities like that. But they're not even cities. They're just skyscrapers. The entire city is just skyscrapers. That's kind of cool.
That's where the world's going, I guess, right? Building up, but it was kind of like it was more about the shock value of the pornography that they could show.
Yeah, no.
And I'm no prude. I'm definitely. I can watch. I can read that. But if that's what the story's about, it is called Sex, I guess. I wanted more from it, especially from the hype I heard about
it. The whole thing was is the sidekick. His like hero, the person you work with.
Really, that's what you got out of it? Because I didn't see that.
No, she dies, right? And she says, "Live. I want you to live." So the whole thing was
okay. Yeah,
he has a fortune. What he's like a Robin kind of Bruce Wayne, who's a female, is dead.
Yeah.
And her dying wish was, "I want you to live." So this guy is no longer a superhero. has to deal with out being a superhero. By the way, lived life as a teenager, doesn't know what it is to be a, doesn't know what it is to be adult, and has to now be in charge of a multi-million dollar company and be an adult and see that the world that they created, right, that what was once like the slums of New York City created, now is falling apart again.
Right. Well, I mean, that wasn't clear. They didn't do enough of that in the actual issue. Like, if you didn't know what it was about, you wouldn't have seen those things. I think enough people knew enough about it.
I understand that. No, I don't see anything.
I'm going to buy number two. I'm going to see what's going on.
Speculation.
I hope more comes from it. All right, well, we're going to see you guys next week. It's been fun.
There are a few things we couldn't say that hopefully maybe next week
we'll work into it next week.
Bye, guys.
Adios, muchachos.